is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Also with us here tonight is Frank Briscoe. Frank Briscoe is the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. He'll be running our boards and helping us with some reference material from time to time, and he's going to be a pretty intricate part of the program tonight as well. We have been for the last several weeks, and we do think we've got a great program for you tonight. We're going to try to wind this thing up tonight, our relationship with God. There could probably be no more greater question than we could answer than the answer that we would have to honestly give ourselves. What is our relationship with God, and how is our relationship with God? And we've looked at this for the last several weeks, and we have seen where the relationship with God begins. Now, there is a way to live happily and successfully every day of our life. We've talked about this. Happiness is not something that comes to some and not to others by chance or fate or luck. The key to happiness is truth. John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And John chapter 17 and verse 17 identifies that truth as the Word of God. Jesus would say in his prayer to the Father, "Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth." Now, truth will free. Whether it is in science or medicine or physics or spiritually, truth will free. Truth enables us to build skyscrapers and automobiles and go to the moon and bring about success and achievement in any field. And on the other side of that truth is slavery. And in every area of life, it is the result of ignorance. Slavery to sin is no exception. Freedom alone brings true success and happiness. And it is important that we search for that spiritual truth just as we do in other areas of life. And in order to do that and to be better informed spiritually, we need to make the right decisions that affect our lives and that will ultimately affect our happiness. And the key is truth. But as valuable as truth is, people are trying to find substitutes for truth. And many times, in many ways, people try to find a substitute for God and for truth. And even those who profess to be Christians find themselves making substitutes for God. And a reason is, according to the world, a substitute seems more rational and logical and easier to believe. And so we have covered on several different occasions evolution versus creation. The creation is the truth of the matter. Evolution is a substitute for that truth. And one of the reasons that we begin all the way back in the book of Genesis looking for this truth is to establish that relationship that is so valuable that a person must have with God. Now, this relationship has got to be built on God's side of truth, because there's a conflict in this world. There's a conflict between God and Satan. There's a conflict between his church and the world. On one side, you have God, truth, freedom, and honor. And on the other side, you have Satan, error, ignorance, slavery, and sorrow. God's side, you have honesty, happiness, and eternal life. And on Satan's side, you have liars, sin, ultimate failure, and destruction. Now, truth, and we read this last week in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12 through 15, truth has fallen into the street. This is what Isaiah wrote about 700 years before Jesus Christ ever came to this earth in the flesh. But truth has fallen into the street even today. And the universal desire of men and women is happiness, success, to love and to be loved. And these are on God's side of that conflict, on God's side of the truth. It is where the relationship exists that we must be a part of, the relationship that exists between you and the God of heaven. Tom?
Tonight we're airing on KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose. We're airing also on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo. KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville. KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock. And also KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on internet radio through the gospelradionetwork.org. I'd also like to remind you that this program will be rebroadcast on Tuesday, 6 a.m., on this channel here, the Gospel Radio Network. Now, our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We also want you to remember that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also contact us via email. The email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. That's questions@harrisonmoore.org, and the email will go to David's inbox as well as my inbox. Now, we won't be answering any questions from the emails tonight, but if you'll send us emails, we'll be happy to answer your questions, and perhaps you even may have a question or a topic that you would like us to discuss in other lessons. We'd be more than happy to do that. We also want to remind you that there is a chat room available for you. If you'll go to thegospelradionetwork.org, there's a chat room there available. You just type in a name, and you can get involved in the discussion that way as well. We're also airing tonight on Periscope. If you would like to see what a live broadcast looks like, you might want to type in, go to the Periscope. You can search out Tom Moore at Poppy Tudor or Harrison Moore, and you can find us right there. Also, we have a Twitter account, hashtag Ask Harrison Moore, if you want to ask us questions via that way as well. Now, David had to step out for an appointment this afternoon, but Frank is going to be filling in his spot, and he'll do a great job. And we know we've got a program for you tonight that would be of great interest. We're talking about our relationship with God. And Frank, one of the great ways to help us to understand our relationship with God is to look at the story of a loving father. It's also known as the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And so to get us started tonight in this area, Frank's going to read for us that parable.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose, and he came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, and was moved with compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found."
You know, and Frank, in this parable, it's a very great parable in helping us to understand our relationship with God. In this parable, of course, the son represents mankind and the father represents God. And as we look back in this parable, we remember there's a young boy who decides that he wants to have the portion of his inheritance that's due him. And what's interesting, Frank, that he went and he wasted his substance on riotous living. You know, that's not a very unusual thing for people to do today, is it not, Frank? People wasting their life away on the material gains of this world.
Okay, here was the example of a young man who, in his own mind, was seeking happiness.
Mm-hmm.
He was seeking fulfillment. He was seeking what he wanted and what he thought was going to be a pleasurable life. But he sought it without God or without his father.
You know, Frank, we think about that idea of this young man looking for something more than he presently have. Tell us a little bit, Frank, about the parallel we might see there in that book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon was looking for something else.
Okay, the book of Ecclesiastes is a tremendously interesting, important book for us to read. And it is a book that was written by Solomon. And Solomon, in all of his wisdom, gives us an inside look, as it was, to what it is to seek in this life without God happiness. And he used all kinds of different illustrations. He sought happiness in wealth. He sought satisfaction in pleasure. Everything that he turned to in this world ended up by him saying, "And all was vanity and a striving after the wind."
Mm-hmm.
That as he looked at the world and all of the things that the world had to offer, you know, he even described it as what he accumulated, however much it might be. He said, "Then if I die, my son gets it,"
mm-hmm.
"and he may be a fool."
Yeah.
In other words, he's not going to take it with him. He's going to lose it until you get to the very end of the book. And then he gets very serious again. And he said, "All has been heard. Here's the end of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man."
You know, Frank, and that's exactly what our world fails to understand, fails to realize, that the true meaning to life is not found in the things of this world. You know, Frank, that's what the prodigal son failed to realize. He went away and wasted his substance on riotous living, and he found himself to be in want, and he sunk so low that he was filling his belly with the husk that the swine ate, and no man gave unto him. You know, I find it interesting there, Frank, in Luke chapter 15, in verse 14, it says he began to be in want. He was in want because he went his own way. And I reminded of what the shepherd said in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He found himself to be in want because he had left the Lord.
You know, the psalm that you mentioned, 23rd Psalm, mm-hmm. perhaps one of the most beautiful of all the psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, the idea of the shepherd feeding the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He puts him in the place where he gets the very best.
You know, and here we got the prodigal son. Instead of lying down in green pastures, he's lying in a pig pen.
Hey.
You know, we see exactly where that kind of lifestyle leads when we don't have the proper relationship with God.
You know, he perhaps is a reflection of some of the things we see with young people today. In our country and in the mind of many that are like this man have left God, they want satisfaction and they want happiness and they don't find it
mm-hmm.
until I'm told that the second leading cause of death among young people is suicide.
Exactly.
Because they're looking in the wrong place. They can't find what they are in want.
And everything gets back to what we've been talking about over the last several weeks is our relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, a true relationship with God, a relationship that's based upon truth, then all of these things aren't going to really matter. And you know, we got this prodigal son here, Frank, and he was in the very lowest state. I mean, he's eating with the pigs, a Jewish boy. I mean, how worse can you get than that? But then it says at the end of verse 16, and no man gave to him, verse 17, but when he came to himself. You know, that sometimes, Frank, it takes the lowest time of a person's life where they finally really come to themselves. He finally realized that he's in want because he has left the Father. But he not only came to himself, but he also took action, didn't he?
He realized the need that he had to do something if he was going to alleviate the situation in which he was in.
Mm-hmm.
The responsibility now was... it was up to him. Peter writes a little bit about this over in the first chapter of Peter. And I read that a number of times. And you think about it, he tells us to gird up the loins of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we put that in Texas English, what he's saying is get your head on straight.
Yeah.
And this is what the young man did. He girded up the loins of his mind. He went to thinking. And when he went to thinking, he realized what he needed to do.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's only, Frank, when one comes to himself, as did the prodigal, and realizes the vanity of life without God and the protection of God and the care of God and the guidance of God and the love of God, that he takes the proper steps to return. You know, Frank, God never left man or never leaves man. It's always man that leaves, right?
Right. And, you know, you read this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. This is after sin. God came into the garden, and in verse 9 there, just the simple question, Adam, where art thou?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. The question really was, Adam didn't know where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't realize where he had placed himself, but he is the one that had moved. He's the one that had left God.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're continuing our study, and we're going to finish it up tonight on our relationship with God. And we're presently looking at the account of the prodigal son, a parable that Jesus told about a son who leaves his father with his inheritance. He wastes all of his money on riotous living. And when he finally comes to himself, he comes back to his father. And Frank, one of the things that's very interesting to me and very encouraging is that it's almost as though the father was looking out the window for his son, right?
Well, I think one of the most important things about the whole of the story is the attitude of the father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was watching. He saw him when he was a long way off,
mm-hmm.
and he went to meet him.
You know, God's going to meet us halfway if we'll just come back, right?
Right.
And so it's important for us to realize how important it is for us to have this relationship with God. And God, He anxiously awaits us and His return with outstretched arms. Now, we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
This is Rusty again.
Hey, Rusty, how's it going today?
I know y'all sealing it up tonight, and my opinion, or what little bit I know, is to find your relationship with God, your peace. It has to do with submission.
Exactly right, Rusty.
You can't argue with God. He's your creator. He's your boss.
Mm-hmm.
He's your father. He's the one going to take you home. Why would you want to argue? There's your peace.
Uh-huh.
It's called submission.
You know, and that's
I wanted to share that with you, and then I'll get offline and let somebody else call.
All right, I appreciate that call, Rusty. And you know, Rusty is exactly right. Submission is really what's all behind having that relationship with God. It's understanding our relationship with Him. He is the Father. We are His children. He has all authority. We are to submit to His authority. That is the idea of submission. And in connection with that, Frank, submission is also the idea of obedience, isn't it?
And I think the other thing that Rusty was pointing out there is the fact that God has made this available to us. We can come to Him. We can return to Him.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the desire that God has for man, that we have full fellowship with mm-hmm. Him.
You know, and so God anxiously awaits His return, the prodigal son and us, with outstretched arms, and we should also do our part in this whole scenario in coming back to God. You know, Frank, what we're going to talk about here for a good bit now is, I think, an item that's very important with regard to our understanding of our relationship with God. You know, God, Frank, does not force us, does He, to have a relationship with Him?
All right, God has given unto us, from what we're going to be looking at, is the ability of free choice.
Mm-hmm.
The choice is ours
mm-hmm.
as to whether or not we want to respond to God, turn to God, or turn to the world.
You know, Frank, this has always been true throughout the history of the Bible, hadn't it? What we're going to do here for a few minutes here is look at the time tunnel. We're going to go way back into the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis with the Garden of Eden. And notice throughout the annals of time how that free will is very important and is something that God has blessed us with in regard to our relationship with Him. Frank, just think about for a moment. How good or how encouraging or how much enjoyment would God get from a relationship with someone who was forced to have a relationship with Him? You know, we think about our children. You know, when my children hug me because they want to is one thing, but if somebody makes them hug you, it's not quite as good, is it?
For either one.
That's right.
For either one.
And so we're going to look at the time tunnel tonight. And Frank, tell us a little bit about the Garden of Eden and how we understand there the idea of free will.
When God created or made, as the book of Genesis tells us, the paradise called Eden, and He made it specifically for man, and what a wonderful paradise it was. But the thing that we're looking at this evening, when Satan came, he presented man, beginning with Eve, a choice. It was not something that Satan made man do. It was not something man had to do. It was a choice that man had to make. Satan used the power that he had, which was the power of words. He preached to Eve. He pointed out the tree, and he said, look at the fruit, how good it looks and how good it would taste, and it would make one wise. In other words, he preached his sermon,
mm-hmm.
and she believed it, and she obeyed it. This was her choice. And as a result of her choice, sin entered into the world. Adam made the same choice, but it was his choice.
Exactly right. And so we've seen there at the very beginning of time, this idea of free will is set forth. Frank, let's move ahead in the time tunnel. Some 2,500 years later, we find ourselves in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. We're going to look at a few passages there. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to look first of all at verses 1 through 6, and we're going to see here how that God has given man free will. Now again, this is some 2,500 years after the Garden of Eden. In Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Jehovah thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy beast, the increase of thy cattle, the young of thy flock. Blessed shall be the basket and thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." And Frank, all of these things, all these blessings are going to take place if they hearkened unto the word of God. But on the other hand, in that same chapter, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, to observe this, to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, and all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Cursed shalt be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the increase of thy cattle and the young of thy flock. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Frank, here God gives Israel a choice. They have the choice to obey God or not obey God. But God wants them to understand, though, when you make the bad choice, there are going to be consequences. You make the right choices, you obey God, there's going to be blessings. You make the wrong choices, there are going to be the consequences, as is clearly seen here. But Moses doesn't stop there, does he, Frank?
All right, you move on just a little bit farther, and he sets this out for us in very plain language in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. He said, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes, his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, and thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish." But again, the choice was theirs.
Mm-hmm. Choose. There's a lot of choosing there. There's free will that takes place. And Frank, things have never changed. God has always given man free will to choose to either do what is right or to do what is wrong. As we travel down this time tunnel, Frank, we come now to the book of Joshua, some 100 years later. And Frank, what does Joshua tell his people there in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15?
All right, Joshua had just brought the children of Israel into the land of promise. It has been taken. And he begins, he says, "Now therefore, fear Jehovah and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah.
And so here we see another instance where man has the freedom to choose. Now, man does not always make the right choices, but we have the freedom to make those choices. As we go down through this time tunnel in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah some 800 years later, in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls? But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Here, Frank, we have people who had a choice. They had the free will to make the wrong choice. He says, you need to walk in the old path, walk in the straight and narrow path. But they're saying, we will not do it. Frank, we see the importance here of free will and how that really is associated with our relationship with God.
Well, Tommy, we talked about this a little bit last week and moved over to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 3, where Amos makes a statement there in the third verse, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" It is our choice whether or not we want to walk with God. I think, unfortunately, so many times in the world today, people want God. They want to walk with God, but they want God to come and walk with them. Instead of exercising the choice that we have of accepting God's invitation and coming and walking in the old path, we want to walk in our own way. But again, the choice is ours.
So walking in the old path is walking hand in hand with God, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's not walking your own way, and yet that's exactly what people want to do so often in our world today. Well, we go several hundred years again, 800 years later, give or take, to the time of the New Testament. And we have in the book of Mark what I like to call the pivotal command. Tell us a little bit there, Frank, about free will, and what exactly do we have there in Mark chapter 12?
All right, in Mark chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in just a moment, verse 28. But the question that comes to Jesus as to what is the greatest command, what is the most important? And Jesus' answer, he said, "And one of the scribes came and heard him questioning together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is first of all? And Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Now, that, again, is the choice that we determine to love God with our whole being.
Exactly right. And, you know, Dave, when we think about, Frank, when we think about this idea of loving God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know, not only do we have the choice to love God like we ought to, but is there not also the choice in understanding God like we ought to? And the only way that we can understand God is through his word, right?
Right.
Well, we have a choice then. Are we going to study God's word like we ought to, or not study God's word like we ought to? If we're not willing to study God's word and learn about God and learn what he wants, how can we have the proper relationship with him?
You know, the Apostle Peter, dealing with this in the first book, chapter 1, verse 22, he said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth." You know, there is no way we can purify our soul except by obeying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we can obey the truth if we don't know it.
Exactly right. And again, associated with not only the knowing of the truth, but the obeying of the truth is free will. Now, think about this, Frank, and I know you know a lot about this, and you might want to give us your thoughts on it for a moment. When I think about the idea of Calvinism, the Calvinist, and there's a lot of religions who have a lot of Calvinism in them, don't they really take free will out of the picture?
Okay, free will is totally eliminated. If you go back to the original principle of Calvinism, he very simply said that man is born with sin.
Mm-hmm.
When an infant is born, he's born a sinner. He has inherited the sin of Adam, and he has no choice in the matter. And from this came the tulip,
mm-hmm.
The total idea of predestination, that God has determined who's going to be saved, who's going to be lost. And if that were true, there's very logical and scriptural argument against it, but even if there was any aspect of it that was true, there would be no point in religion.
Exactly. And, you know, we've already looked at several passages. You know, we could look at passages all night long, Frank, that talk about man having free will that just flies in the face of Calvinism.
Yeah. You know, Calvinism begins with total hereditary depravity.
Mm-hmm.
That when one is born, he's born in sin. If he dies, a baby, infant, they're lost.
Yeah.
Unmerited favor. You know, that this which came, that God gave, but it was limited atonement.
Or unconditional election. Of unconditional election, well, that means you don't have any choice, does it?
But the atonement was limited.
That's
only
right.
To the chosen few.
And then irresistible grace. Where's your freedom there, right? And perseverance of the saints. All of this takes free will out of the picture.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a chain. You
mm-hmm.
break one link and it's no good.
That's right.
If one point was true, then the other point would be true. But if one's false, the other's false.
Exactly.
And we can just back up to the very first one. Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven."
Mm-hmm.
That breaks the chain on the very first link.
Exactly right. And so tonight we're talking. Now remember, tonight is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Rusty got it started a while ago, and we want you to follow the good example of Rusty and call in, if you will, with a question or a comment. We're talking tonight about our relationship with God. We began by looking at the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the loving father. We're talking here about how we have free will. We looked at several passages beginning in this time tunnel. In the Garden of Eden, we've walked all the way through the New Testament, showing time and time again. And again, we could talk about this all night, showing passage after passage after passage that we have free will. But notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 in verse 30. It says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." We cannot be neutral. And Frank, we choose what we are. We either choose to be with God or not God. No man can serve two masters. You're making a choice here. We have to make a choice. We will make a choice. God has given us that ability. And Frank, should not our choice be to have the proper relationship with God?
You know, and we'll get to it in detail in a few minutes, but just something to begin to think. You know, the Bible ends by saying, "Whosoever will."
That's free will, isn't it?
That's free will.
That's choosing.
The choice is ours. There's the paradise. There's mm-hmm. heaven. Whosoever will.
And I don't think anybody said it greater than Joshua, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." We have a choice. But Frank, one of the things that we learn about our relationship with God, and also in this story of the loving father, is that man so often is enticed by the world, aren't they?
Right. You know, in the great chapter on faith, Hebrews chapter 11, where Moses is given as an illustration. The statement that is made there concerns the pleasures of sin.
Mm-hmm.
He rejected the pleasures of sin. The world is enticing. It holds out something that looks good, but the end thereof is the way of death.
Exactly. You know, and I can't help but think about the passage in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, where it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and vain glory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever." Frank, we see here how that we are enticed by the things of the world to pull us away from God. We look at this idea here for the lust of the flesh. There are things in this world that we are allured to that pull us away from God, that pull us away from that relationship, the lust of the eyes, things that we look at, the vainglory, pride, and things of that nature pull us away from God. Frank, when we do that, we're choosing by our own free will to leave or not to have a relationship with God.
Okay. And as you say, the enticement is there.
Mm-hmm.
The world holds this up. And we can see the example of this. We can see the result of it. In the things that you read, in our country today, in the United States of America today, if we ask what is the three things that matters most to man, what is it by which man is judged, and that the world looks at as they judge a character? It's his wealth, or his looks, or his athletic ability. Mm-hmm. Those are the top three things.
Exactly right.
And the world entices, and look at what people give up to attain those things that are passing away.
Exactly. And now, you know, Dave, Frank, we think about this time tunnel we've been looking at. We talked about here in 1 John chapter 3 about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life. Way back in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, where we were looking at a moment ago, we see this very same thing. It says there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that was a delight to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and that tree that was desired to make one wise, there's the pride of life, or the vainglory of life. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and she gave unto her husband with her. Frank, it has always been the case that Satan tries to allure us by enticing us to the things of the world, and we, because of our free will, many times choose to do the wrong things, and therefore hurt or sever our relationship with God.
You know, and basically this is the same thing that you find in Matthew chapter 4, where you talk about the temptations of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That the things that Satan used in the temptation of Jesus there, command these stones to become bread, worship me, give you this. It's the same thing that you read there in 1 John, where he talks about the love of the world and the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is what entices man and leads him so many times away from God.
Exactly right. And so we're talking about the number. Remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about our relationship with God. And we're using the parable, the story of the prodigal son, the story of the loving father, into helping us understand what our relationship with the father should be and what it will not be if we go into a far country. And we all have free will to make the choice. You can choose to make the proper relationship with God a priority, or you can choose not to have a relationship with Him. We talked about how that God created man with the power of choice, how that man has been enticed by the world to leave it. Doesn't James also have something to say in that regard?
James chapter 1, beginning of verse 14, he said, "But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed.
Mm-hmm.
Then the lust, when it has conceived, beareth sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death."
Exactly. And so we see then, Frank, and listening audience, that the world really entices people to leave that relationship with God, and they begin to have a relationship with the world. And again, we've already noted that we cannot be a friend of the world. If we're a friend of the world, doesn't James say we're an enemy with God? Didn't it, James 4 and verse 8, I believe? If you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy with God. And so it's important for us to understand the importance of our free will and making the right choice. You know, God, in the parable of the prodigal son and throughout its pages, has always been saying, don't do it. But he's not going to interfere with man's free will. He's not going to interfere with man's ability to do right or wrong, the power to choose.
If man did not have the ability to choose, then Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 30, the invitation that Jesus gives would be a foolish invitation.
Most definitely.
Do you have the passage?
Yes, in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Frank, we think about the idea of God is there for us. He says, let me help you. And we think about the idea of a yoke being easy and a burden light. That didn't always make sense to us. But if we have the proper relationship with God, isn't our yoke a lot easier and our burden a lot lighter?
It's who's helping us carry
exactly
that
right.
burden.
Exactly right. And what we need to realize is people sometimes think that they have freedom and liberty to do what they want to, but that brings a heavy yoke, a heavy burden upon us. Jesus says, let me help you. Let me help you ease the load. Let me help you ease the burden. But we have free will, don't we, to make the choice to either have a good relationship with Him or no relationship with Him.
You know, it would just be very simple to say the burden that we share with Jesus as compared to the burden that comes upon you when you share with the world.
Exactly. And you know, one of the things, Frankie, is that we don't always realize the burden until it's too late, do we?
You know, this is another thing that God tells us, the Holy Spirit through Paul in Romans chapter 6. He said, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life. Now, there's a choice. What are we going to accept? Which way are we going to go?
Exactly.
That he tells us, and God would have us to understand, that one way leads to death, but he would give us life.
You know, God desires for all of us to choose him. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? You know, that idea there of coming and knowing, that's free will, isn't it, Frank?
Okay.
We come. That doesn't mean we're forced or dragged. We come to the knowledge. That's what he wants from us, doesn't he?
Right. As the Holy Spirit said, he would have us all come to the knowledge. The only way you can come to the knowledge is study.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's your choice.
Exactly right. And, you know, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God desires for us to choose him. He desires for us to have that relationship with him. And it's important for us to have that relationship with him. Frank, when we think about this idea of the proper relationship with God, God has, man is the one who has left God and is the sinner. The light, when we think about this idea of our relationship with him, man is the one who has left God because of our free will. So I got a question here. In light of the fact that there is a God, that the Bible is his word, that the Bible is our guide and plan for man, we need to ask ourselves, if we were to die tonight, where would we spend eternity? Before we begin to answer that question, though, as we conclude tonight, I want to mention a few things about our sponsors. We're being sponsored tonight by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ on Tentop Road in Weatherford, Texas, the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. We also want to thank some individuals who have recently given us funds for these radio programs, the Hansons in Weatherford, the Swigerts in the Metroplex area, the Keeters in Iredell, the Four Hands in Hamilton. And without these congregations and these individual donations, our being on the radio in all of these stations would not be possible. And so we want to thank you. And by the way, all of the congregations that we've mentioned in Bangs and De Leon and Dublin and Rising Star and Mount Vernon and Ninth of Man in San Angelo and the Windmill Church of Christ in Santo, all of these are sound, solid congregations. They have sound elderships. They have great, wonderful sound preaching. We encourage you to go by and visit with these if you happen to be in their area. Frank, as we begin to draw to a close tonight, we've talked about how that in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all sin and come short of the glory of God. Man has left God and is a sinner. So we have a question. In light of the fact that there is a God and the Bible is his word and is our guide and is the plan for man, if we were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Is that not a good question to ask our listening audience?
Not only a good question, that's the most essential question that one can be asked, because eternity depends upon the answer that you give.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. If you stood tonight, listening audience, if you stood before God tonight and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be?
Okay. You know, many think of God only as a God of love.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at passages, perhaps the most familiar of all, John 3:16. Mm-hmm. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We just stop with that for just a moment, and we ask the question here for our audience. How do we know that God loved us? We know how much God loves us. We know that God loves us because of what he did. Now turn it around. How does God know that we love him?
Mm-hmm.
It is because of what we do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people today, Frank, talk about, well, all you got to do is believe in Jesus and have faith. But every time I hear people say that, I always think about Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. You remember the story where Jesus was in a house and these men are bringing their son or their friend to see Jesus, but they can't get inside. And so they go on top of the house and then lift off the roof, and they let down their friend in front of Jesus. And there in verse 5 it says, and Jesus seeing their faith. And I always ask the question, how did Jesus see their faith? Did they drop down their faith coin? Did they have a faith merit badge? How did God see their faith? It was seen in their action, right? Right. And that gets back to what you said. God showed us his love by giving his son. How are we showing our love to him?
The same thing that James tells us. He said, you can talk about it, but the thing that I want is to be able to see it. You can see it in the things that people do. And so when we talk about believing in Christ, believing God, it's going to be seen in the action that we take.
Exactly right. And so many think, as you mentioned, said a moment ago, thank God as a loving father only, and that they're not bound to his laws. And in the end, they ignore their sins. You know, people rationalize today, and I've heard this a lot, and sometimes people even say this about other people. Well, they're good people. You know, I've been a good husband. I've been a good father. I'm a good employee. I've not done anything really bad. And so God has to be pleased with me because I am a good person. I think of a man by the name of Cornelius. Wasn't he a good man? But there was still something left for him, wasn't there, Frank?
Even though he gave much alms to the poor, he did all of the things that he knew to do. He still needed to hear words whereby he might be saved.
And so, you know, we have our idea, Frank, a lot of people thinking that all that, well, as long as I'm a good person, surely the God of heaven is not going to send me to hell.
You know, I think good is an abused word.
Yes, it is.
You know, we talk about these people being good. You know, in the New Testament, there are only two men that are referred to as being good.
Mm.
One of them, Barnabas,
mm-hmm.
and the other is Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah.
It's only two that I know of that are referred to as being good.
And so it's not a very widely used word in the New Testament, but yet we use it for, here might be a man out there who is a sorry, dirty scoundrel, but he's a good man because he's a good daddy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's not what's going to get you to heaven. Now we need to be a good husband. We need to be a good father. We need to be a good worker. But those things alone are not going to get us into heaven. You know, others might soothe their conscience, Frank, by saying, well, I give to good charities, like Cornelius, right? Yeah, he gave to the poor and all that. But in all of this, there is one thing forgotten. The most fundamental law, that is the law of cause and effect. Frank, tell us a little bit in about a minute or two about this law of cause and effect.
All right, probably most brief example that you can give of it. If a man jumps off a 20-story building, that's a cause.
Mm-hmm.
The effect is a body lies dead in the street.
Exactly right.
And if we bring this down, well, other ways, you sow a flower seed,
mm-hmm.
that's the cause. Beautiful flower is the result. We bring this on over to our service unto God.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to be a Christian, which is the result, the cause is going to be because we've been obedient unto God.
Exactly right. You know, we think about this idea here, Frank, about the law of the harvest. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's cause and effect. The wages of sin is death. The sin is the cause. Death is the effect. And so if we want to have the proper response, then we're going to have to obey the will of God. You know, but the good news about all this, Frank, Jesus has offered to die in our place. God has accepted his sacrifice. And the means to be merciful he has for us, yet adequate to meet the demands of justice and law has been made available to us, but we have to make the choice. It's not free gift in that we do nothing. It's a free gift that we don't deserve it, but we still have to obey and do our part to receive this gift of God. It has been indeed a delight to have you in our audience this morning or this evening or this afternoon. We pray that the things you've heard tonight will be of encouragement. And be sure if you have any questions or comments to email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You've been listening tonight to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Praise thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harris & Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.